God bless you and the pastor and lady of the church here this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And yes, I was glad when they said, come on, let's go to the house of the Lord. I woke up this morning in preparation knowing that I was going to get to go to the house of the Lord. Not because I'm going to get to speak, because I know who I am, but I know who He is more so. I'm finding out more and more what it's like to walk with Jesus, and every day truly is sweeter because I'm understanding Him a little bit more each day and each hour that I walk with Him. You might not get it all correct, but He is correction. You might have to be corrected sometimes by your Heavenly Father, but He'll do it in a loving, kind, and gentle way. He's always looking for somebody with a willing heart to come unto Him. And so I'm thankful this morning that He beckoned unto you to come here. The few, the proud, the brave, whatever you want to say, I think that He moves among all of us, no matter who that we are, whether two or three are gathered in His name, or 8,000 or 8 million, it don't matter to Him. If you're willing heart and you want to hear, He'll give you a word and He'll give you something. And I thank Him that He's been with me such as He's done for me. And I pray to God that you open your ears, that He opens your ears of your understanding this morning and enlightens your mind, not because of what I say, but because He's what He's given me to say through His word. Ephesians 6 and 12, let me get some glasses on here because I do not want to misquote anything. To the best of my knowledge, me and Brother Al went over a few things last night. I love you, Brother Al, very dearly. And sis, thank you for sharing the pulpit with me this morning. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities and powers. As you're going and we're marching closer, closer in the days of spiritual unrest and upheaval, political upheaval, spiritual unrest, you're seeing more and more darkness rising, and the light's got to come to meet the challenge. We must stand to our feet and be a beacon of hope to those without hope, and those that have already had hope, that their fires are beginning to burn down. And today I pray that the Holy Ghost awaken us and shaken us and let us see things in our light as God would have us to see them, that we could be better individuals to bring forth that light in this present darkness of time that is around us, because we are the last great hope of this world if you have the Holy Spirit in you. There is nothing else that's going to take the darkness away or push it back. It is you. Until the church be taken out the way, then the spirit of the Antichrist will have its way and it will rule across the face of the earth. But the church is not taken out of this way because you are the church. You represent the body of Jesus Christ individually and corporately. And today, if you're hearing my voice, whether you have been walking with God for a long time or whether you have just now come to know God, it does not matter. You have the Holy Spirit within you through your baptism, through the anointing of God, and you are somebody. You're not nobody. You are a somebody in Jesus Christ, and He will do as He does best, show you to the world, to His Spirit to the world through you. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. Hold on. Just don't sit down just yet. Let's pray. I know it ain't appropriate to hold hands, so we're not going to do that, but hold hands in the Spirit this morning. If you're out there in the world, I ask that you just raise your hand before God as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you've already anointed your word, God. I pray that you anoint the voice that I speak with. Give me the power, the wisdom, and the understanding, O God, to bring it forth as you have showed it to me even more clearly, God. Bring forth scripture and bring forth meaning that will set free the captive, Lord, and release us to be who we should be, Jesus, in your lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. I began to study and to look at this, and God to begin to jerk my chain, so to speak. And I pray I'm always chained to Him with the Holy Spirit chain. I don't want to be free. I don't want to be my own person. I don't want to be who I was before. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. And I want to be hooked to Christ in such a manner that I am inseparable. I want him to be in me to such a point that the degree of the Holy Spirit that instantly at a moment's notice it can spring forth and come into action and to play and to what needs to be done that is awry in this world. And so do you. And I trust God this day that you have a heart and a desire. And if you don't, or your fire has burned down because of unrest or because of disobedience or whatever it may be in your life, I give you good news. God stretches his arms out to you and will open you with open arms to reignite you, to cause you not to just be an embryo or a smoking flask anymore, but he wants you to be mighty in the power of his might and in the spirit of wisdom. Jesus, as he walked along one day in the scriptures, you can read, they began to press him as they always did about things that were happening around them. Some of them trying to entrap or ensnare him with their words, or some of them just plain wanting to know, and some of them having to have an answer to their questions or the things that were tormenting them because they were so uneasy. Whatever be the case, it does not matter your question. What matters is your quest, and that is to make heaven your home. It does not matter how oppressed you are. He is the releaser of that oppression and the breaker of your bonds this morning. But they came to him in Leviticus, or not, they didn't come to him. He came to them in Leviticus 19 and 17, and he brought out some things in Leviticus that you should do in accordance to the law. He gave them to Moses. The law was given through Moses to the people to how best to walk upon the face of this earth. And you see the first part of where I'm going to take you here today, and we're going to go here in just a second in Leviticus 19 and 17, but I'm going to put in a word from the pastor, though she didn't speak it to me. If you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed the prelude to what God's going to give you now. You missed the cake and now the icing and the cherry on top, hopefully, if the Holy Ghost fall down upon you and we repent and we come to a greater knowledge and wisdom of God. And I'm not saying that for my behalf or for Brother Al's behalf that he spoke today, but he did not know what I was going to speak on, but he spoke on love. And he spoke in Revelations chapter 2, if you missed it. You can go there today and revamp and get the first part of that chapter was where he was at, because God is trying to awaken us to be who we are supposed to be and to who what instead of what we have become. We need to come up to a higher mark. An athlete don't just train, he super trains. He sleeps right, he eats well, he runs, he exercises, he does all these things before he ever gets to do and participate in whatever he's going to do to win that gold medal. And God's saying tonight, church, you have what it takes, but you have not exercised yourself quite properly like you should, because I need a church that's vibrant and a church that's willing and obedient unto me in all phases. Chapter 2, I said I wasn't going to repeat it, but I would, of there in Revelation that he brought out, says, you need to get back to your first love. If you don't get back to your first love, he said, I will remove the candlestick, which is the light of the Spirit, from your life, and you will walk in an area where you're not familiar with. And if ever you have woken up in the middle of the night and you have jumped up to go do something, and maybe you are familiar enough to run to the bathroom, but all of a sudden you find out you want a drink of water and you jump up and you run in there if the lights are not on, sometimes you're going to find that you can whack your foot or your toe up on something that you didn't know was there, and you're unaware that it was there, and now you got some pain. Well, some of us are facing some things that we don't have to face because we have lost our first love. How many of you have walked are driven down the road even of late and seen a bumper sticker that just rolls up in you? Why are they like that? And I don't know what the bumper sticker, maybe it's political, maybe it's religiosity, enjoy all these particular things, and we want the unity, and then they're including in them things, some things that are not godly. I don't know, I'm talking to somebody today because the Spirit of God is speaking to you about what's inside of you, not what's spoken out from you, but that spirit that raises up in a warfaring way. We just seen the political unrest that happened up in Washington where they stormed up there and did things that were unseemly. And one party says, well, it couldn't have been us because we are always peaceful. And another one said it had to be you. Well, who cares who it was? It was done. Ungodliness was performed in a nation where we are standing and saying we are supposed to be one and we are supposed to love our brothers. I don't see love when there was death involved. I don't see love when there was riots across the nation in all of the towns and the cities. I don't see that as a loving aspect of a march of peace. You can say what you want to, but call a skunk a skunk. If it stinks, it stinks. I don't care what a political affiliation you come from today, but I do care about your soul, and I do care about where we are going as individuals that call ourselves Christians, and all of a sudden things are rising up in us, and we're looking at our brother or our sister or another religious denomination, or a bumper sticker makes you to where you're so angry, I'd like to just run them off the road. Come on. I know. Because he's had to deal with me on it, on some of the things that I have seen. Some of the billboards that I have seen pop up, I thought, oh my God, what are they talking about? Some of the things that are perpetrated in the name of your nation that are happening even in Congress today. And you're thinking, oh, that's so and so and so. You know what he said? Speak not evil of those in authority and dignitary of you. But I have at times, and so have you. And God says, that is not the way of my church. My church shows brotherly love. And even though they are doing those ungodly things, I love that man as much as I loved you. And I shed my blood as much for him as for you. And that individual can be saved. But not if you turn a heart that is hardened and cold. And you raise up with a voice that is not like God against him. Or you speak it to your other brother. You know what you're doing? You're sowing seeds of discord, not of love. And you're planting seeds that's going to come up of wickedness and evil in your brothers or your sisters or your loved ones' lives. We have sat around and went through some of our phases of Christmas. And in our own homes, we have had disagreements and heated arguments. And maybe not so much because you haven't been able to do it with the COVID. Maybe you didn't get to celebrate Christmas as some of them have celebrated in years past in the great big gatherings in your home. But how many times in your past have you remembered heated discussions come about because you got on things, one thing and one thought another thing? Or in your own home with your brothers or your sisters? Or someone, here's a good one for you. And then this happens very often, and I have seen it. I don't have Facebook, but my wife has got a Facebook account. And they get on there and they play something political. And all of a sudden everybody jumps on the bandwagon and everybody got something to say, a piece of their mind. Every time you get out piece of your mind that's not of the Holy Ghost, you're losing a little bit of your soul to that mess. We don't want to think like that, and maybe it ain't my place sometimes, sis, to get up here and preach like this, but I'm burdened in my soul for a church that says she's got power and authority over wickedness and over darkness, and all of a sudden when she stretch out her hand to pray, there's not authority and there's not power coming forth, and I'm not seeing what I'm wanting to see in the Holy Ghost. And yes, it's because of me, but it is because of you not being who we're supposed to be. And God's been yanking me and pulling me and letting me feel a little bit of some of the things that he feels. And I am tormented in my soul about some sitting in the church on our pews that we no longer feel God, but we go through a motion of hand clapping or tapping our foot a little bit. And because he's blessed us so immensely, we feel good because we can put a little bit in the offering plate. But it don't come through your actions of just doing. It comes through a heart that says, yes, God, I want to do it because I so loved you. He didn't look down on that cross and he didn't say, I hate you for putting me up here. He looked down upon them and he prayed for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My gosh, I don't know. I'm feeling something in my spirit. I'm not meaning to get onto you. I'm truly not. But I want to tell you, unless we get back to the basics of love, we have become sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. There's nothing in what you say you got if you don't have the authority and the power to push a demon away from someone that's being tormented, or to seek to have compassion and love over a situation that you feel helpless about. Because God has never lost control. We have. By our own actions, by our own deeds. Leviticus 13 and 17. And thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt not anywise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. I had to look it up. What's it saying? Here it is in plain English. Let there be not hate in your heart for your brother, but you may make a protest to your neighbor so that he may be stopped from doing evil. That's the Bible in basic English. It's saying you can tell your brother, but you better tell him in love. You can straighten out any situation and you can look at the world and put it according to the word of God. But when you speak, you better speak with love. To reconcile them back to yourself. Because I need you and you need me. Because together we make up the body in the family of Jesus Christ in love one toward another. They may be of a totally different faith, but unless if you got what you think is a little more than them in knowing more truth, God bless you. But don't get on a high, arrogant horse and pointing a finger at them. Get on your knees and raise a hand toward God for them and cry out to him that he revealed to them through you or through another individual, through anybody that can give them more light and more truth that they could walk more respectfully and peacefully upon this earth. I looked at this and I was shocked. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The problem is, and God told it to me, you don't love your own self. You loathe who you have become because you have walked away and the light of your candle of your spirit is nigh out. Some, it is already out. And I speak to you in the Holy Ghost. It don't take but a word of saying, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. At the moment that you do that, he is faithful and just and will forgive you. But then you must proceed on reconciliation, prayer for the one who has wronged you, or who you have had words with, or harsh feelings toward, or toward whatever that situation that is unlike God, that you have reared up your big stick and wanted to club it like Bam Bam on the cartoons and make it right your own flesh. Yeah, I know, because I am just as human as you. Let that man sit in front of you through a light, and you'll be blaring your arms and shaking your horn and shaking your fist, say, what are you doing, stupid? Come on, getting down to brass tacks. Where's your love? Where's your compassion? You can honk, but don't lay on the horn and lay there at him and shake your fist at him. Is that the spirit that we want to display? You can march, but don't take your sign and bash him because he's of the opposite side from you. Don't turn over a cop car or a police car thinking that you're in the right. You are not in the right. That is the wrong attitude and the wrong spirit. And very quickly, you can get caught up in a moment. And God's saying, ha ha, refocus. Did you know that here on earth, they can shoot a rocket and reach the moon? How many have ever heard of that? Everybody has. But did you know what? Those people here on earth that sent that rocket up there have to constantly adjust to get that thing to get perfect, because 2 degrees out, they could be 2,000 miles off when they get up there to try to reach the moon and miss the moon altogether. From earth to the moon is not as far as earth is to heaven. But if you do not constantly readjust your spirit and reattune yourself and keep yourself in check, you'll feel like you have missed the mark. And some of us I'm talking to today have truly missed the mark. But when the Pharisees, Matthew 22, 34 through 39, but when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, we got great faith in them lawyers, don't we? If it goes wrong, let's get a lawyer. We'll just sue them. We'll fix it. And we'll show them. We'll get our way. I'm going to leave that one alone. The lawyer asked him a question. He was tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" His reply echoes down through the ages and this morning to us, the church, and even to you who are not the church, because I repent before you and tell you we have not been perfect before you, or we would have already had you sitting with us in a pew, saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Forgive us. We knew what we were doing, but we grew dim in our approach. He asked him, Jesus tempting him, and he was tempting him. He said, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all of thy mind." If you have lived up to that commitment, you're doing better than anybody else, because it is nigh impossible to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength 24/7. You're going to have crazy dreams. You're going to have situations, and your flesh is going to rear up. But he's saying, I want you to contend for that higher mark. You are doing good, as in Revelations. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. He's not kicking you to the curb this morning. He wants to encourage you to strive to do better. Okay? He goes on to say, this is the first and the greatest commandment. But then he adds this unto it. And he said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. He's saying, look, I want you to love them as you love yourself or me, because I am in you, your hope of glory. I want you to reach for them, to teach them, instruct them in loving kindness. Be patient with them. He went on into Corinthians, and I'm not going to go into Corinthians for lack of time this morning, but it is the one that talks about the tinkling, the sounding brass and the tinkling cymbal. You have to be who you say you are. And if you're not even striving because you have grown weary, shake yourself this morning. Because God needs a true church. He desires a true church. And I would to see the revival that I've preached my whole life. There was a story in the Bible. Oh, well, it's not actually a story. The whole book of Hosea. You might not be familiar with it this morning. This is a strange story because I had a hard time wrapping my mind around this, because this is taught during the time where the law was and the law of God and can-dos and can't-dos and can't-goes and can-goes and so forth and so on. And you know the routine. After Christ came, he brought us mercy and grace. And many are saying, oh, we can do away with the law. No, the law gets even harder if you come into mercy and grace, because he don't add to it. He puts some things where he says it's in your heart. You got to be right. And that's what I'm talking to you about. You can look the part. You can walk. You can give. You can go through all the works, but if your heart ain't in it, you have missed the wholeness of it. He desires you to be like him. And I know that I got a long way to go. But in the story of Hosea, you see that God directed this old prophet, and he was a prophet, to marry a harlot or a whore. Strange story indeed for this time, because they were taught that that is punishable by death. And here's a man of God that has to go do something that is totally out of kelter with what his teachings and his belief is. That would be a difficult thing. Everyone else said this, but the man of God stood up for what God told him to do. He said, okay, God, I will. I'll do that, but I'm going to put a hedge around her. I'm going to do all I can to correct this situation in her life and to bring about a better life for her and for me. Well, guess what? It did not quite come out that way that he thought. For some of you, you joined up with Jesus and you thought that it's a fairy tale ending, you know, and they live happily ever after. You think that because you come to God that you deserve now to get all this and all of that, and it's going to be heaped up in your bosom and running over, and everybody going to look at you and say, woo-wee, look at that rich man walking there with the Spirit of God. Go to that guy. He got all the answers. But it hadn't turned out that way in your life. God called you with a purpose, called you with a design, and you had a desire and you responded. But something didn't turn out like you thought, and Hosea was one of them. His story goes on to say he married her, and the first thing that happened is they had a son. Yeah, him and this lady had a son. And to his astonishment, God calls his name, a name saying that there's going to be bloodshed because of Israel's sins. He's making an example to Israel. He's trying to reach Israel by an example of this marriage that is so foreign. He's trying to say, Israel, you have walked away from where I want you to go, and I want to call you back, but there's going to be some judgment happen because you walked away. America has walked away from the principles of God-fearing doctrine of righteousness and truth. She has slaughtered the babies upon by the millions now. She has done things of immorality and called it right and put them in leadership positions, and the people are confused because here is the leaders, and now all of a sudden they're doing things that are ungodly, and they're making laws and stipulations and all the rest, and America is faltering and failing at her root system. And if you got bad roots, guess what's going to happen? It won't bear good fruit. The fruit will be, if it even comes up, puny and at most scrawny and hard to eat. And now the things in your life as a Christian, you're finding out that some of the things are hard for you to bear. And you're saying, what went wrong? And God's saying, I can tell you what is wrong. Get back to the fine principles that I put before you to walk in. Walk in holiness. Stay in truth. You know right from wrongs. Don't call right wrong and wrong right. Stay with me and keep it according to the word of God, and I will give you peace in your situation. You're sitting in unrest and unhappy because you have walked away from him. But he stands with open arms as he did Israel. He said, though all this happened and judgment gonna come about, I'm still gonna love you, and I stand with open arms for you. They went on in Hosea's story, and they had, there was another child born. Scholars will attempt to tell you and will say to you that there is speculation on her name, Lo-Rema, whether she was even his or not. Think on that. Here is a man of God that's trying to do, sis, what God told him to do. And now all of a sudden, he still has to love this harlot of a woman who has went out and committed adultery. and had a child and is now in the house with him and it's not his own? That's heavy. That is so much that I think, my God, what's going on here? What's going on here? God is trying to say, Israel, that's you. They're sitting on your pews in your synagogues. And they don't know God because you no longer know me. And you're trying to teach them. And it's almost as blind leading the blind. And the world's sitting back and they're looking and saying, it says, where is the true church of the living God? Where is the one who's willing to fast? Where is the one who is willing to pray? Where is the one that will sacrifice and not raise a fist when wrong is done them? You don't think that a man had the right to want to slap his wife around almost, so to speak, in the flesh when he came home and she knew that he was pregnant and he had not been with her? I don't know hardly of anyone in this day and age that would want to put up with it. But guess what? Worse comes to worse. It gets it even a little bit more. A son now is born. Crazy. Now a boy is born. And he told him to name this one, Lo Am I, meaning they're not my people. God has can. The only sin that is truly given whereby you can get a divorce over in the New Testament is when you are not faithful to your spouse. Adultery. And you can go and you can get a bill of a divorce. You don't think God's got a right to divorce people who no longer want to seek after him? Who no longer want to follow his ways? Who no longer want to do what he's asked us to do? Yes, he's got that right. But here, we're seeing a beautiful story of the Old Testament carry over to the New. Because God says, lover, 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 come on, Hosea, keep loving her, keep praying for her. Keep working. Keep putting a hedge around her. Keep pleading out to me because my arms are still outstretched that she'll be a good woman. My arms are still there that you can help bring her about. Don't give up on her. They get a certain way and we say, oh, I don't even want to be around them no more. We've got things in our families and some of them says, I ain't even talking to them anymore. They're going to act like that. And they ain't never going to be saved either. You do that. Because you're supposed to be the light. Where is your first love? In chapter 3, God commands Hosea to seek out Gomer once more. Either she has sold herself into slavery or into debt because she's in a bad way and up on the auction block for anybody who will have her. A slave back then just sold for 30 pieces of silver. Okay? But here's somebody who's been worse than a slave. She's been promiscuous and everyone knows it. And she's up on the auction block. And guess what God commanded him to do? I want you to go and buy her back. I want you to go and down to such and such and whatever it takes, I want you to give it and get her back. I want you to bring her back and put her back in your home. And this time things will work out okay. I don't know the fullness of the story that it truly did come about where they lived happily ever after. I'm sure they're like every other family where they had their differences in it at time. But she seen such a love when he came and he looked upon her. And his eyes met hers and she maybe ducked her head because she knew what she had been. She knew what she'd gotten involved in and she felt no good and trashed. Today, if you're feeling that in your life, God's saying you're not trash. You're worth something to me. And I'm looking upon you through the eyes of an old prophet And I'm saying to you today, I can still make something of your relationship that had gotten broken from me. I can build you up and make you a tower of hope that the light of my glory will shine through you. I can pull you out of the mire that you've gotten yourself entangled in, whether it be sin or of promiscuity, or whether it be drugs, or whether it be alcohol, or whether it just be so lax that you no longer care anymore, and you no longer know what you believe anymore. God is telling you, I can make something of you because now you know who you are. And when you know who you are, that you're not worth anything, and you're just dirt. From the dust of the earth you were here and you will return. When you realize that, you come to the point where you can be saved and delivered from your situation and your problem. Because God has never told you that. That's been a lie of the enemy. You are important to him. And he gave his blood and shed his life so that you could have everlasting life. So that you could be redeemed and stand in the redeemed of the Lord. And stand beside me and everyone else that is still striving for reaching that mark. I will fall short on my knees. I'm going to fall though. And when I fall short, I am going to call out and I am going to talk to him. And I'm begging you today in the Holy Ghost, in the sound of my voice in this room and elsewhere, that you realize who you are. You ain't got anything going on for you, but God's got everything planned for you. It's been laid out for you from the principal foundation of this earth to be something other than who you've become, because you are important. There's no more one person that is important above the other. God's telling you today personally, you are my beloved. I gave everything for you. I want to buy you back off of your auction block. He did, and it was a beautiful story. Possibly, I would think, the second greatest love story in history. The first is God did it, and then you see the story of the prophet where man can do it too. Beautiful correlation. I have come to the understanding that it's not in the power, it's not in your might, but it is in his spirit, saith the Lord. He wants to do this for you. John, second chapter of John 1. I'm going to read two portions and I'm going to wrap this up. Verse 5 and verse 9. He's talking to the church, but he's talking principally to a lady that's residing over the church. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. There are principalities, and there are powers, and there are spiritual wickedness. And I started on this, but I want to finish it up. Principalities and powers are the dominions and the domains of where spiritual darkness tries to hold captive nations and peoples. And where the demons can't necessarily hold principal powers over areas where there is church, people praying and walking in the light and in the love of Jesus Christ, they have to be battled back. And you're not wrestling against an individual that is committing these atrocities, but you're wrestling against a spirit that has overtaken them that they have given themselves to. And you must understand that they are limited in their aspects as to where they can go. But as darkness increases upon the face of the earth and more wickedness, they are able to go from principal areas into other principal areas because of kinship spirit is there. And when they see that this is happening, as you're seeing it happening right now, there has never been more civil unrest across this world globally than what you're seeing right now that I know of. Maybe you know of a time, but across the whole of the earth, it's not just in America where they are rising up and doing all this flash mob and crazy stuff and breaking windows out and doing all the stuff that you know is not right. It's not only in America. It's happening in Greece. It's happening in Rome. It's happening everywhere across the whole of the world. The Mideast is all tore up with it. They don't even know who's their brother anymore because they're shooting and killing those of the same ethnicity. And it is a mess across the world today. So now leave has been given to the spirits to travel in areas, and you're seeing it happen, and the church must be ready to do the same. You must look across at your brothers and sisters, and if it's here in America or it's wherever, you must have compassion and love on them. They asked Jesus in Luke chapter 10, who is my brother? Okay, he went on to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. There was the priest that passes the man by that on the road, and he was laying there all beaten and battered and robbed and didn't have a penny any longer, clothes all torn probably. And then he just walked on by. Why? Because he was in a hurry to go and preach, sis. I don't know, I'm just making that part up. It don't say that in the scripture. Okay? And then there was another, a saint of God, that she was on her way to the beauty parlor because she had a very important date and she couldn't be late, you know. And she looked at him and she seen him and she thought, oh man, maybe there's a robber that's laying by the side. And this is just a decoy and it's gonna rob me and I won't have money to pay for my hairdo. I don't know, just making it up. And then there comes somebody along that everybody hated and nobody liked. He was a Samaritan, a half breed. He wasn't a Jew. He come from Samaria, an outcast, even to God. And the outcast going up the road, and all of a sudden he notices this guy over here moaning and groaning and carrying on. Oh, I better do something. He gets off his donkey and takes out his oil, puts it on his cuts, making it up again. But I like ad-libbing, so you'll get the picture in Americanese. Reaches out and rips the hem of his shirt or his garment. Maybe he took off his old prayer shawl that he had on that everybody else said he shouldn't even be wearing. And maybe he wrapped up his wounds. And he didn't stop there. Spoke kind words to him probably. Told him, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. He put him up on his donkey. And because it's on his donkey, he didn't ride with him. He just held him up there best he could. And he took him to an inn. He puts him in the inn. Gives him a fine room with a nice bath. And he's got, I didn't even have this when I was beat up before I was beat up. Now, man, I'm being taken care of. But then he did it even a step further. He went down to the owner of the inn and he told him, hey, look, I tell you what, this guy, he's important to me. I don't even know him. But he's very important. He's an individual that's worth saving. I want you to, here's some money. Take this money. And when I return again, if he has cogged up a bill, we put him up in the churches and some of them has abused us. They've taken advantage of the money situation. They've lived longer than their stay. Take food, treat it, whatever, it don't matter. And all of a sudden he's saying, I want you to take, and if he incurs any other expenses, you put it on my account. When I come back through here, I'll pay it for him. Today, some of you are good Samaritans. You've been tore up in trying to do good. God's telling you like he did Homer, love in spite of. Keep doing what you're doing. Make sure you keep your relationship with me right. But some of you are the little guy on the side of the road there. And God's saying, I want to pick you up. I rode a donkey one time into Jerusalem and everybody praised me and everybody loved me. But then they rejected me just a few days later. But I want to put you on that donkey and I want to take you to my hotel, which is heaven. And I got a place for you. And I got a lot of things for you down here before you get there. But if you'll just listen to me and come back, I can do some great things with you. And we can do some great things together. And today, in the Spirit of the Lord, I call to you in the Holy Ghost. If you're in this house, or if you're out there in another land, as far as the radio broadcast goes, I call you back to Jesus Christ, because He's the author. And He alone is the finisher of your faith. And if you want to live in a mansion, and if you want to have streets of gold to walk on, and if you want to see the gates of pearl, and you want to walk through unhindered and unhinged, then you gotta get sitting back upon His donkey and do it His way. Oh, it might not be a glorious steed. You might have to do some things that you don't want to do sometimes. But if you do it right, I promise you, you'll get those riches that I just talked about there. The greatest thing that could ever be said about a man, woman, boy, or child is that you did it God's way and not your own. It might not be pleasant, but it is best for you. But the beautiful thing about it is, once you've lived with Him and walked with Him on a continual basis, you won't hardly be able to understand how you got along without Him for so long. Would you stand with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I've delivered my heart and soul. I pray it not be condemning. I pray that it be moving. God, Your Spirit has went forth. Not my spirit, but Thine. Not my will, O God, but Yours be done. As I call them, O God, to respond to this gospel of truth, whether they be here, there, or yonder, I call them to a place of repentance this morning. Because we are Your sheep. We are Your people. We want to be called by Your name. I release and relinquish, God, a hold on who I am. I want to be in You so much, God, that they see You every moment of my life as I walk down here. And so do they. Put Your hand upon them, O God, and Your Spirit within them. Lead them and guide them, O God, and bless them in the way when they come in and when they go out. Let them know that Your face is still shining on them. And like Hosea, Your arms are open wide, O God, to receive them if they will only come back unto You. But God, if they don't come back right now, I pray that this moment that I've spoken these words reach into their spirit and into their life. And they never forget it, God, that You want them back. That You want to redeem them. That they've been called and they are special. And that they, God, have something that is valuable to You. Let them never forget it, God. And let them, God, be tormented by the message until they return again, God, and bring their sheave and their life before You. That they laid it down, O God, and that You let them take it up, O God, in You. New creatures, born again of water and born again of spirit. God, because that's what You told Nicodemus. He must be born of the water, and they must be born of the Spirit. Let both happen into their life. And until that time come, O God, whether it be today, tomorrow, or next week, I pray, God, that You be upon them, that You keep wounding and swooning and looking with eyes of compassion of Your prophet upon their life. I don't know if you still cry or not. I know that You're the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. But I pray, God, that my tears replace Yours if You don't cry. That my heart be broken, God. That they would come unto You and You would give them rest. God, let not my feet or my way, God, grow dark, nor theirs either. Until we all come unto Your resurrection and beautiful spirit of light, of loving and kindness. Jesus, in Your lovely name, I pray this. Amen. And the church said amen.